Thank you, Vena. And welcome, church. And I apologise, we seem to have run a bit long today, but today is Communion Sunday, and we've got a special treat today. We're going to hear from Unique. So, Unique, can I get you to come up here? And I am aware of the time, but Unique has prepared a short homily for us. Part of today, I hope today you've managed to get to know somebody that you haven't maybe met before, or you've made some new friends or learned some new things about each other. You know, part of what the idea is today is exactly that, is communion. Jesus implemented communion around a meal, around the breaking of bread and sharing with one another. And so we wanted to do that. And today part of what we want to do is we want to hear from Unique, which is hopefully the first of many we're going to hear from Unique. So please give her your support as she shares. Yeah, go ahead. We're going to hear from Unique, and you know, throughout, we're going to do this a few more times this year on Communion Sunday, and we're going to be calling up some of you at different times to share what's going on in your journey. You know, as we're going through the Bible together as a family, you know, you're all going to have your own takes on it, and we want to hear that from you. So Unique is prepared, and she shared this with me yesterday. It's absolutely brilliant. You're all going to be blessed, so thank you, Unique. Can you share with us what you have? God bless.
Thanks, Chris. Hello, everyone. Hello, family. I'm very excited to share what the Lord's given me this morning. So basically, I'm just going to share briefly where I'm at in my own relationship with the Lord. And my prayer is that what I share will only bring glory to Him and honor our God and renew your trust in Him. So as we've read through Exodus and Leviticus over the last few weeks, I've spent some time reflecting on what would have happened if God took the Israelites straight from Egypt and placed them into the Promised Land. So one thought was that if God hadn't taken them through the 40-year journey, they would have probably been susceptible to worshipping the false gods of the new lands and the idols of the new lands and that they were actually meant to conquer. And I wonder if they would have even gone to war against, you know, the Canaanites or the Jebusites or the Hittites and, you know, all the other lands, because they would have had no time to build up their trust in God. God took them through that journey, through all those, that 40-year journey, and it built their trust in Him. And I think they would have probably just run away from the idea of going to war for a God that they don't even know. So like the Israelites, I feel like God has brought me through so many processes, and their end result is exactly that. I end up trusting Him more after every process. I used to hate the word process because it meant that whatever I was wanting, I had to wait for and I had to work for it, and there were going to be challenges that I didn't want. But when that day came, that breakthrough came, I forget all about that. I forget all about the hardships. And I'm just so grateful to God that the day of breakthrough came. But it's just one day. It's just that one day I had to wait for. So I want to parallel some of the processes that God took the Israelites through with some of the ones that He's taken me through. So one of them is teaching them that God is their provider. So God gave them their food. He gave them their housing. He gave them their water. He gave them everything they needed. Wayne and I went through a similar season with his job for about 18 months. We weren't sure whether he was going to have a job the next day, whether we were going to have any money, what it was going to look like. But God supplied all of our needs, and He taught us that He is our provider, not just of finances, but of everything that we need. God is our teacher. Through the internship, I've had many lessons on how to trust in God when I've been given an assignment or given a task to do, because He's the one that taught me how to do it. The Israelites, He gave the commandments. He gave them all those rules. He gave them a way that they can be set apart from the rest of the world. He taught them how it's done, and He was gracious with them, and He gave expectations. He wasn't too harsh with His expectations on them. He was merciful, and He was gracious towards them. as he has been to me as well. Another one is that God is their healer as much as he is my healer. In Exodus 15:26, God said, if you listen to carefully to the voice of your Lord and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commandments and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 23:25 says, you must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. So through prayer ministry and times of seeking God for physical healing, he's often taken me through a process of working on personal relationships and different kinds of journeys for me to reach that point of breakthrough where I receive my healing. Things like surrendering, dying to ourselves, purification, holiness, are all processes that God worked out in our lives and worked out in the Egyptians' lives. And we read all about those processes in Leviticus, all the sacrifices they had to go through and the offerings. And God has done the same work in me, and it's ongoing, that one. That one's a big one, and it's ongoing. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 is a kind of a verse that has traveled with me through all of these processes and all of these journeys. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So through the book of Exodus, I discovered that the Israelites struggled with trusting God probably as much as I do. And I just thank God that all his patience didn't run out on them, because he needs a lot with me. But learning to trust God in all those areas I mentioned has been one of the most frightening but freeing journeys I've ever been on. When Wayne says grace, he always thanks God for the wonderful days that we've had and for what tomorrow holds. Because we follow Jesus, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Because of the processes we've been through, we know we can trust that whatever tomorrow holds, God will get us through it. We've learned that one day can change our lives. And it took about 2 years It took one day over the last 2 years to find out that Wayne would lose a job. It took one day to find out that he found a job. And then we would rejoice and praise God. It took one day to find out that Wayne and I might struggle to have a baby one day. And it took one day this week to find out that we're 5 weeks pregnant. Thank you, Lord. We see that as a miracle because we didn't know. We didn't know it was even possible. So this will be our new process and our new journey. And so we will continue to thank God for everything that's happened today, and we will continue to thank him for what tomorrow will bring.
Thank you, Unique. That was wonderful. What great news. Oh, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. What wonderful news. Amen. I have to stop myself from crying now. Well, hallelujah. Look, I realize the time is 10 to 12 and we have to do communion. So can I ask the ushers to send around the emblems if that's okay? You know, church, this is a wonderful time as a family, and you know, it's so wonderful that when one of us falls pregnant or something good happens or something bad happens or we go through times of trial, that we're all, you know, we're all there for each other one way or the other. We laugh with each other, we cry with each other, and that's something to be thankful for, I think. That's something really, really to be thankful for. And so I think we should give the Lord a round of applause just for how he set it up. Because it's just, It's amazing. Doing this as a family is an amazing, amazing thing. So while the emblems are being passed around, I just want to share something. Is that looking back on my life when we were growing up, I think one of the most valuable things to me was in hindsight, I would say, is the fact that we as a family would often sit down around the dinner table together. And I say often, I mean almost every night of my life, we would sit down as a family. Dad would come in from work and we would do it as a family. We'd sit down. Mum would have made the dinner and we would sit down. And this was before the times of mobile phones. So I think I was 17 when I got my first phone, and it was a Nokia 3310, if you can remember. So there was nothing to do on it except play Snake or send text messages. And you weren't allowed to have your phone at the dinner table. It wasn't even a thing at those times. And you know, during that time, the phone never rang because people understood that between 5 and 7, it's rude to call people on their home phone because they're probably having dinner. Do you remember those days? And if the phone went, you would just leave it because you know who's phoning. It's who? Telemarketers. More often than not, it would be the telemarketer. So if the phone went and the phone went and the phone went, you pick it up because it might be an emergency. And if it wasn't an emergency, my mum would tell them in no uncertain terms that they shouldn't be phoning now because we're sitting down for dinner. Because it was a sacred time almost. I mean, it wasn't sacred in the sense of, but it was. It was something that my mum and dad carved out, whether they meant to or not, and we sat down around the table. And what was beautiful about it was that there was no distractions, and at least for half an hour a day, we would sit together as a family, and we would talk, and we would share in each other's lives. And that's a precious thing. See, because for some things, you can't learn out of books, or you can't learn from a lesson. You learn them around the dinner table. It's where I learned a lot, probably the most, about life out of anywhere. And there's something significant in sitting down together and breaking bread as a family. And so today, this is a lot of what the motivation is behind this. It is Communion Sunday, and communion was implemented at the Last Supper. Jesus himself did this. You can see that he, in his last night before he went on his road to his execution, he sat down on the eve of Passover with his disciples. He had a meal with them, and he explained to them that this would be his last meal. And it was significant because of three things when I read the story that stand out to me. Was that one was that he gave them the final command, the final talk. He said, "These emblems, the ones which you've got, I want you to take these in remembrance of me. Whenever you meet, I want you to take these, eat them, drink them, and remember that my body and my flesh and my blood have been poured out for you and all of mankind for the payment of your sins." Secondly, he taught a lesson. And I remember oftentimes just through listening to my dad's stories or through listening to my mum's stories or through talking to him about a problem that I'd have or listening to my brothers and sisters talk about problems that they have and the way he would tell them how to handle it. That's where you learn about things in life. I'm getting picked on at school. If they punch you, Chris, you punch them right back. Or if, don't punch someone if you don't expect to get hit back. I'm not saying that's great advice. I'm just saying that's what my dad taught me. Taught me to plant my feet at least. Things like that, when we don't have these talks anywhere else. There's so many things about this. And Jesus taught us a lesson here with his disciples. He took off his outer garments and he washed their feet with the towel. With the water and the towel, and he taught us this, is that to follow Christ in the kingdom of God, the greatest is the one who serves, not the one who wants to be served. And then finally, and hopefully I can pull my scripture up here because I've been trying to. I'll just read it back here. Can you go to the next scripture, please? The third point he makes is that he gave them a hope. In meeting with his disciples, in meeting around the table, he spoke not only about what to do, or teach them a lesson, but he spoke of a hope. Can you go to the next slide, thanks? He said, just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant to you the privilege that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And that is our hope, is that there is a surpassing glory, a surpassing hope and joy, which we are one day destined to make it to. So church, you know, we have fantastic news. Like Unique and Wayne are going to have their first child. And we have hardships as well in our midst of people who aren't well, people who are struggling financially, people who are struggling relationally, and we can be there for each other in the ups and the downs. But what centers us all together, what keeps us all together, is the fact that we are a part of the body in which we're about to eat. And we are washed clean in the blood of Jesus, which we are about to drink. So can I invite you to eat of the bread? And remember that Jesus Christ poured out his body for all of mankind. And you're part of that body today. Remembering that the way of the kingdom is the way of a servant, and that the greatest amongst us are the ones who serve and not the ones who are served. I see that a lot around here, church, people helping out, people in need. I see people who are in hospital, who are visited, who are prayed for, who are taken to appointments. I see people who need help with laying their grass and people helping them. I see people moving house and people going and helping with that. I see a lot of love, a lot of service, a lot of helping one another. And that's what brings us together around the fact that we are worshiping Jesus Christ on a journey together, figuring it all out, and we have a hope and a glory. And the way we are able to do that is we are a new creation because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. So can I invite you to take of your cup and drink? Just before I pray, I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never met Jesus before, but who would like to know more about it or who would like to meet him today. Is there anyone here who's like that? Then I'm glad, and I'm going to assume that you all have met Jesus already. And I want to pray, church. I'm conscious of the time. I want to pray for you, and then we can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely family that we have. We thank you that you've made the church in such a way that you call it a body. It's not an organization, it's an organism. And we are all parts of that body, your word says. Your word also says that when one part suffers, the whole body suffers. And when one part rejoices, the whole body rejoices. So we thank you for the good times. We thank you for the bad times even. We thank you, Lord, for the journey that we are bringing each other closer together and towards you so that we may be transformed more and more to the image and likeness of the Godhead. We submit all of our troubles to you, Father God. We submit all of our failings and all of our sin and everything, Father. We put them to you and give them to you, and we nail them to the cross. We've met together, and we remember that you poured out your body and your blood for all of mankind. And because of that, we are new creations. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you very much.